Blog Talk Radio.
It's just one of those days. Welcome to Barack Obama's America. This is General Gonzo S. Patton. Unmedicated, unrestrained, and unleashed on an unsuspecting society. Woo! Race ipsa locator! Let the good times roll, my friends. I am here today because this is a full frontal assault upon the politically correct leftist community and their idolatry. Nothing is safe. Nothing is sacred. Behead those who insult Christianity. Tonight we're going to talk about surviving a shooter or stabbing attack in a public place. With the Muslim invasion that Mullah Obama is bringing us, we will face attacks like never before from Islam on our soil. Welcome to the new America. Hope and change has arrived. What to do to prepare mentally and physically to survive is our topic for this evening. How to respond before and during an attack, and what comes after the new normal. If there's time, because we have a lot to cover, I'll take questions. The call-in number will be 347-857-1197. The chat room is open, and we have a special liberal hotline. It's 347-857-1197. So why don't we just dive right in? Because time is of the essence. Once again, tonight, we're talking surviving the active shooter, active attacker scenario. And the very first thing in survival, stop saying it can't happen here, it can't happen to me. As you can see by watching the news, not only can it happen here, it will happen here. And with Obama importing more and more jihadists, under the guise of refugees, it will happen with more frequency. If you work in or attend a soft target, a gun-free zone, a church, school, theater, or other area with kids or potential easy targets, such as a hospital, an emergency room, urgent care center, daycare, preschool, elementary school, assisted living facility. Stop denying and start planning. If you do not start thinking that it could happen and begin to plan for the event that can and will eventually befall you, there is nothing that can save you. You need to assume the warrior mindset. By that, I mean don't become a SEAL or Ranger overnight. It's not going to happen. just become determined to live. Have it in your mind that you and those with you will live, thrive, and survive. Whether you believe you will live or die will likely determine your outcome. Police officers and soldiers who thought they would die often have when the wound was not fatal. Studies have shown that non-traumatic wounds have oftentimes caused people to perish because they believed that they were not going to make it. And the mind is a powerful tool. We have all seen or heard of people in our family and in families around us who got a horrible dread disease such as cancer, and they beat it against all odds because they believed that they would. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are right when it comes to being injured. I know I survived a fatal wound because I believed that I would. If you are determined and believe that you will, you will. It is just that simple. But you have to see yourself in that position. Not at the time, but before it occurs. You have to plant in your head that should an incident occur, you not only are going to survive, but you're going to be proactive. You're going to live, and you're going to come out the other side victorious. Now, you've got to plan. What now? What do I do when this happens? Not if, but when. Because we know with plane load after plane load of alleged refugees, which are ISIS fighters that are jihadists, terrorists coming to America, being spread out about the country, that we've already seen attack in this country with knives and guns, and those attacks have increased. We know it's going to happen more often. So let's not lie to ourselves. Let's not lie to our kids. Let's not lie to our spouses. Let's prepare. If you want to react in a proactive manner, you have to sit down away from the scenario and imagine what would happen from the moment the door is opened to the time the event is over, and plan your response to the violence. Being able to see it, plan it, and know in advance what you would do allows you to react out of instinct and survive. If you work in a daycare, in a hospital, in some soft target someplace, or you ride public transportation, or you fly frequently, or you've got a trip coming up that involves a cruise ship, because many of you weren't alive to remember seeing the terrorists shove the man in the wheelchair off the cruise ship after they shot him. You weren't around to see what happened in the 70s with the Israeli terrorists killing the Jews around the world. That is coming to America. You need to be prepared. Ben Carson was right when he said, you need to get up and you need to say, let's game. Because, once again, he was right when he said, he can't get you all. Some of you will die. Some of you will be injured, but not all of you. Take that person down. So you need to sit down and plan. What would you do if you were teaching preschool or Bible study, or you were at the movies, or you were in some other place, a gun-free zone or a soft target, and someone burst into the room and began to stab people or began to open fire? What would your reaction be? Be able to see it in your mind's eye. Plan it. Know in advance what you would do. And in knowing, it allows you to react out of instinct. And it allows you to survive and to help others survive. Oftentimes, all it takes is someone at the very beginning to jump up and scream, no, stop, you're not doing this today. Get out of my classroom now. It takes a command and control voice. It takes someone with the courage to stand up and say no loudly and shock that person and throw whatever it is you have in your hand at them. An eraser, a cup, a book, whatever, and scream, get out, while advancing towards them and pointing at the exit. Carry a tactical pen with you at all times. A tactical pen like those available at cheaperthandirt.com. They have a variety of them, from name brand Smith & Wesson ones, to Uzi ones, to no-name brand ones. All they are is a wonderful, solid steel ink pen in black aircraft-grade steel that will penetrate a throat, a rib cage, the back of a hand if someone grabs you, and it will allow you to become the victor, the survivor, and allow you to defend yourself and others, and then become useful later in writing the report as to what transpired, because you're going to need to make notes. With the adrenaline flowing, there's a lot to try and remember. Carry a credit card knife. I do. It goes in my money clip. It's the size of a credit card. Folds out. It's bigger than a box cutter. Sharper than a box cutter. Goes through airport security. Most of the time goes through the metal detectors at courthouses. I rarely get stopped with it. It's right in the middle of all my credit cards. Costs like $4. If I ever get stopped with it and I had to throw it away, I'm not out much. Big deal. But got a box cutter, I got a knife. If you have a gun, I have a knife in one hand, and I have my tactical pen, a stabbing implement, in the other. I will do you dirt and live, because I have a plan, and I have a more warrior mindset. Cheaper Than Dirt carries a lot of these types of items, from the very spendy to the very inexpensive. And we are talking survival of the mentally fittest, not the survival of the physically fittest. You can be infirm, elderly, very young, it matters not. If you have the mindset that you are going to seriously hurt this person to save yourself and others, oh yeah, you're going to. Do I advise rushing the perpetrator, someone asked in the chat room? Yeah, I'm going to stand up and direct them to move. I'm going to yell at them, out, out, get out, not today, not in my area, not in my classroom, not in my office, get out. And if they do not retreat as I'm throwing stuff at them and advancing towards them, I am going to put a hurting on them. Because obviously they pose a threat, and they have decided that they're going to hurt me and those around me. That's not going to happen. So we are going to go to war. And in a war of attrition, it's the one who has the plan and has mentally decided that in a kill or be killed situation, they're the one that's going to survive. Those are going to be the people that will win. I will chew through your throat and bite your carotid artery in half and gnaw your head off if I have to survive. I don't care what I have to do to win. I will gouge out your eyes and stick my finger through to the back of your head. My life is worth more than the attackers. And I will ensure that it is the bad guy that dies. When the attack is over, make sure that the attacker's weapons are secure and your weapons are secure. So that if the attacker is not permanently deceased or disabled, they cannot rise up and use any available means to begin to attack again. Then ensure that all the innocents around you are evacuated to a secure area and are told not to talk to each other. Reassure them that they are safe. If they are adults, have them begin to write down what happened and keep it to themselves. No tweeting, no Facebook, no Instagram, and things like that. Just write it down or dictate it into a smartphone app so that when the police arrive, when law enforcement agencies such as the FBI and such arrive and are on scene, they will have the information, not clouded by conversation with other people, not altered by other people's perceptions, but based on what they have seen, have them put it together. If the witnesses are kids, ask them to remember as much as they can and tell any other adults present that they need to help the kids write down what they can remember. And if the kids aren't old enough to write down, the adults need to write it down for them. Write down what they saw, what they did from start to finish. And then once you have things squared away, because you have taken command and control of this situation, and you will be in control until law enforcement arrives. Once you have everything sorted out, you sit down without talking to anyone, without clouding judgment, without listening to anyone else's perspective. You need to write down as detailed as possible what you saw, what you said, what you did, so that when law enforcement gets there and they have their hands full, they can begin to assess all the reports and all the information and piece together what happened. Because they are going to need all the eyewitness reports and all the perspective that they can get. Because there is a lot that needs to be assembled when one of these incidences happen. The next thing that happens is a return to normal. But you're never going to return to normal. You just return to a new normal. Things will never be the same. And you must realize this before an incident. It is imperative that normal activities return as soon as possible for everyone. But they will be a new normal. The old normal has been ruined. The attacker has taken away the old normal, and the attacker should be flogged if still alive for having taken away that innocence from those in the room. These events change us all. I know I've been through them many, many times. Some people may never come back to work. Some will become hardened or cold. Some will become soft or distant. We all handle these things in our own personal way. Get after crisis counseling. It will be offered. Take it. There is no shame in talking to a therapist about what you saw, what you did, what you didn't do, and what you wish you had done. Be the best that you can be, and the only way for that to occur is for you to make the most of the circumstances, and that means after a critical incident, you return to a new normal, and as part of that new normal, you do not take the event home to your family, to your spouse, to your loved ones, to your dogs, your cats, and you don't carry it with you for the rest of your life. You talk to a professional, and you learn to deal with the emotions and the feelings and the things that come with it. Take it from someone who's been through these incidences, both as a victim and as a participant. You need to deal with the issues and not be macho and say, I got this. I can handle it. I'm not talking to the rubber gun squad. I'm not going to go talk to a shrink. Blah, blah, blah. There is no weakness in talking to someone after an incident. And if you're a parent and you had a kid that went through this, and you fail to allow them to talk to someone, you fail as a parent. And if you take issue with that statement, email me at revolutionpress@outlook.com and I'll respond to you personally, because you are not teaching your kids to be strong. You're shackling them with nightmares for the rest of their life and leaving them with demons. How dare you? Now that we've gone through such a cheery subject, when we take on the next show, which will be Sunday, because it looks like we're doing Thursdays and Sundays for shows, we're going to take on something a little more positive. We're going to get back into talking about what it is that we can do to help make a difference in politics and in our local government as it speaks, as it goes on. I have the opportunity to attend a wonderful event this coming Saturday where I'm going to learn some new skills, and I hope to come back filled with information about how to tackle people who try and infringe upon our personal property rights, and a host of other workshop events that I'll be attending. And I'm going to be full of energy and want to share that information with you on Sunday. So we are going to kick ass, and I don't bother taking names, because if you get in the way, I just want to stomp on you and keep moving. So Sunday, that's what we're going to do. Keep in mind that if we resist, if we stand up, we will be victorious, because we are all God's children. God loves his children. He gave his only begotten son for us. America is the greatest nation in the world. And like Ronald Reagan said, we are that shining beacon on the hill. I don't care what the corrupt cats in Washington, D.C. have to say. We can and will make a difference. We, the people, are the voice of America. And it is time that we stand up and are not only heard, but we are felt throughout this great nation. As we stomp our feet, we point at the capitals throughout our 50 states, and we say not only no, but hell no. It is time you told Washington, D.C., that they do not run this country. It is the states that run this country. The Declaration of Independence said the United States of America, and United was not capitalized for a reason, because we stood in unity against the government, the federal government. It was not we, the people, who gave all the power to the feds. It was we, the people, who empowered the federal government, but we did not grant them that power to be abused by them. We only granted them authority. And we, taking that authority back, because they've used it and abused it far too long. Good night, my friends. God bless you, and God bless America. Remember, it is God and guns that made America great and will make America great again.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns. Strong. That's what take our guiding gun. Yeah, out here in my neck of the woods, where God is great and guns are good, you really can't know that much about them if you